Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Today we're talking the United Football League. And we're through the first 4 weeks of the season. And it's getting, I'd say, a little more interesting. You know, you say, well, for 4 weeks in an NFL season, that's about only one quarter of the way through. Now with 17 games, slightly less. And in college football, it's about a third of the way. But in spring football, United Football League, it's about almost halfway. So we're up to the mid-season just about, and closing in on mid-season report cards, if you will. So let's start with the results from this weekend. Game, the St. Louis Battlehawks defeated the Memphis Showboats 32-17. The Battlehawks improved their record to 3-1, and the Showboats dropped to 1-3. I thought, I thought that would be a maybe a more competitive game, and it was for the most part. But the Battlehawks at home are clearly a dominant team. I think I read a stat that they are now something like 7-2 at home all time. So that includes this year, last year, and then, of course, the first season a few years ago, the one that was canceled in the middle of the year, the middle of the season there. So the caw-caw, I think that's the Battlehawks chant. Strong team at home. Once again, they're 3-1, tied for first in the XFL conference. Well, Memphis drops to last place, or tied with Houston for last place in the USFL conference. Now, in the second game, the San Antonio Brahmas, hey, they look strong. In fact, they remind me a lot of last year's Houston Roughnecks, which is no accident, considering their head coach, Wade Phillips, that was the Roughnecks coach last season and is the Brahmas coach this year. And you can definitely tell with the defense. The defense has been getting sacks. I believe they had six this week in a 19-9 win over the Michigan Panthers, who were in their first road game of the season thus far. So the Brahmas, they improved to 3-1, and they're tied with St. Louis in the XFL conference. Michigan is 2-2. And they are second in the USFL conference. And then we have in the third game, actually the third and fourth games were surprises. Birmingham and D.C., by the way, this game was played the same time as the San Antonio Michigan game. And there weren't any, so you couldn't watch both games. There was a little bit of a cut in there, I think a couple cut-ins. But Birmingham barely defeated D.C. 20-18. I was a little bit surprised by that. I figured Birmingham being the dominant team they are, coming into this, they're 3-0. Now they're 4-0. 21-3 the past three seasons. And facing D.C., which D.C.'s been a good XFL team, but I just figured Birmingham at home could easily defeat them. But this was a close game. And, of course, there was a weather delay. I didn't see most of the game till the end. With the weather delay, the Birmingham-D.C. game was on after the San Antonio-Michigan game. So, but at the end, Matt Corral leads the Stallions to a last second field goal, last few seconds, and they remain undefeated. They're the only undefeated team in the UFL. They're currently first place in the USFL conference at 4-0, while DC drops to 2-2. So once again, that was surprising. I didn't think that would be that close a game. And in the fourth game of the weekend, The two winless teams, Arlington and Houston, faced off in Houston. And I don't know about the Renegades. They did not win. So the Roughnecks won 17-9. This was another surprising result. I figured Arlington would bounce back at least. And I know they've been struggling on defense, but they would start scoring more points and they'd win the game. But combination, I think, for the Renegades offense in terms of their play calling and in their passing game looked really bad against Houston. For example, Arlington's first drive, they had a chance to go on top early, and Perez threw a great pass down the middle to the tight end, Sal Canella. I mean, the guy was wide open, right up the middle, nobody near him, and he dropped it. So they had a punt. So the Renegades punt, the ball back on a fumble deep in Houston territory, and then the play calling. Oh, awful play calling, in my opinion. Two straight runs up the middle in the red zone. And then Perez, and I'm not blaming this on Perez, more so the play caller, but the third down, I believe it was third and four, something like that, in the red zone, Perez throws a pass to the, I believe it was a tailback in the flat, so it was not even 1 yard upfield, and he gets tackled. So you get the ball deep in Houston territory, great opportunity to score, to go on top early, and they go conservative in the red zone. I really don't understand the play calling. Why do they continue to run the ball up the middle at a shotgun? They did this last year, too, and the offense struggled for most of the year. But I really don't like these first and second down run plays. I know it's there to – you want to keep everyone honest, the defense honest, but I just think they're wasted plays, especially if the defense is loading the box. So, anyways, then the Renegades made some adjustments later, throwing more on first down. But then Perez, for some reason, became extremely inaccurate, throwing to two men. I think there were two instances where there were two receivers in the same area. He threw an interception near the goal line intended for Canella, who I don't know if he slipped on the route or broke his route off, but the ball was underthrown. Just a bad day overall for the Renegades offense. And they're now 0-4. So they are three games back in the XFL conference. And they're last place. So they have an uphill climb. And I'm not saying they're out of it. No one's out of it. Still have six games to go. And remember, you don't have to win the conference to make the playoffs. You just have to be the number two seeded team in the conference. All right, so we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll look at some of the attendance figures and ratings from week four. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. We're reviewing week four of the regular season. And as we said, there's one undefeated team now. It's the Birmingham Stallions. One winless team. That's the other league champion, the Renegades, 0-4. Everybody else is in the mix, even the 1-3 teams. Heck, even the Renegades are still in the mix if they can go on a winning streak. So let's look at the attendance figures this weekend. In the first game, St. Louis, it was down from the previous home game, but still pretty good, 31,757. That's outstanding. In the night games on Saturday, San Antonio had 11,000, and Birmingham, 7,576. These are official totals. Houston on Sunday had 7,179. So you had a total attendance of 56,000. I don't know if that's considered great, bad, indifferent, but obviously with the St. Louis numbers, it really brings up the average. The Birmingham attendance I can understand because of the rain and the storm. The week before they were at 12,000. So you had the bad weather there, and then the weather delay, of course. So maybe a lot of people did not want to. You can't blame them for not wanting to go out in a rainstorm. But San Antonio, the attendance figures there continue to baffle me. Because you'd think they'd be similar to St. Louis. They're both dome stadiums. Neither city has an NFL team. Now, of course, both cities have other pro teams. San Antonio has the Spurs, and then they have, they have a double A baseball team, the Missions. I don't know if they have hockey there anymore. They might not have a minor league hockey team. But they have the Spurs. Well, the Spurs haven't done well the past year, so you'd think the attendance will be a little bit better. And of course, they're in Texas and they're winning. So that is disappointing, I think, for me as a fan. And maybe the league overall. I figure if their attendance could get up to where St. Louis is, you would have two very strong flagship markets. And right now, you have St. Louis pretty much carrying the league in terms of attendance. So really all the Texas cities have been disappointing attendance-wise. And then you have, let's see, for ratings, first game, St. Louis and Memphis. This was Saturday afternoon, early afternoon. 954,000 was on ABC. Okay, and then combine the two games on Fox. So this was the San Antonio, Michigan, and Birmingham, D.C. games combined for almost as much, 951,000 late Saturday. And then you had a big drop-off for the Arlington-Houston game on FS1. Again, that was it was an afternoon game. Not really early afternoon, but I think it was at 1 o'clock local central time. So ratings-wise, good for the Saturday game. Sunday, not good at all. Perhaps it's because the teams aren't doing well this year, but for two big market Texas teams, not very good. Obviously, not much interest outside of Texas in that. Also, the scoring in week four was down. Previous week, it was over 200 points. So you had the highest week of scoring thus far, over 200 points in week three. This past week, it was at 141 total points. So you had three games that were where no team scored more than 20 points, and two were defensive battles, the Birmingham and D.C. games, as well as the Arlington and Houston games. The San Antonio-Michigan game was not high scoring. That was more defense, but San Antonio was in control most of the game. The St. Louis-Memphis game had the most scoring and the most offense in it. So also had the highest ratings. So we're going to look at – we're take a short break here, and then we're going to look at the what the upcoming games are for week five, mid-season. So we'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. We're talking week four UFL. And just to wrap up, or actually we already did wrap that up. So attendance, obviously pretty good in St. Louis for week four. Ratings, decent on Saturday, not good on Sunday. So we have now the week five games. San Antonio, and let me say, there is no early game on Saturday. which I think is good. Sometimes the games are on a little bit too early on Saturdays and people are out. I know I'm don't always have time to watch the entire game. Though I do make a point to try to watch at least the start of it. So you have, again, two games on Saturday night, and that's going to be San Antonio at Arlington, 7 o'clock Eastern on Fox, and then Birmingham at Houston, 7 o'clock on Fox, both Eastern times. So you have two games going on, both in Texas. So I think the league needs to get some not only good ratings there, but some better attendance than they had this past week. If both can get over 10,000 at their home games, I think that would be good. And again, if you are traveling, so if you're not home or in a stadium, you can get the games on Fox Sports, on Sirius XM. It's on Channel 83. So this is a must-win game for Arlington, even though it's only mid-season, but a loss puts them four games back in the division now in the conference. So obviously a loss would put them almost out of winning the conference. I say must win in the sense that they've got to start winning to get themselves in position for a playoff spot. Because the top seeded two teams in each conference make the playoffs. Currently they are last place, 2-3-1 teams in front of them and a 2-2 team. So if they fall four games back in first, they'll be at least four games back of one team and three in the other. Must-win game there. And it's another battle of Texas. Last year, Arlington won both games against San Antonio, and need a win there. The champs need a win. San Antonio, on the other hand, looks pretty solid. Have to give Wade Phillips some credit. He took a team that wasn't very good last year, a 3-7 team, and they're already at 3-1. And if you remember, he had the Houston Roughnecks at 7-3 last year in the South, XFL South. Now, Birmingham Stallions, they go on the road, try to stand defeated against Houston. This looks like a mismatch on paper. Birmingham, I believe they defeated Houston both times last season. And they haven't looked so strong in two of the games. Two games they looked strong, the first and the third game. Second and fourth games, not as solid. But you have to give credit to the coaching staff there, Skip Holtz. The man knows how to win in spring football. He's had, I believe, four different quarterbacks now in the past 2 years. Jamar Smith, Alex Magoo, Adrian Martinez, and now Matt Corral this year. They just continue to win. 9-1 the first year, 7-3 the second year, now 4-0, a total of 21-3 in the regular season, and 4-0 in the playoffs, and of course back-to-back USFL championships. And this will be Houston's chance at an upset, not just at an upset, but getting into the prime position for a playoff spot. They're only one game back out of second place, and a win would do wonders for the Roughnecks in terms of some confidence and playoff standings. So both these games will be 7 o'clock Eastern on Fox. Okay, then the third game of the weekend, it'll be on Sunday. Unfortunately, this is an early game. They should make this a later game. But this is a renewal of a rivalry, St. Louis and D.C. Now, the Battle Hawks and Defenders got into a big brouhaha last year, I believe at the end of their first game. The Battle Hawks are 0-3 against D.C., and they've established a little bit of a rivalry. So the Battle Hawks obviously need a win to stay tied for first in the XFL. D.C. needs a win to get into playoff position. Right now they're the number 3 seed, which would put them out of the playoffs. And they've always, their three meetings, they've defeated St. Louis each time. So this will be on the road. St. Louis is a great home team. We'll see how they do on the road. D.C. is also a great home team. They have not as big of a home field, and it's obviously outdoors, but they have the Beer Snake and then all the fans there at Audi Field. So that should be a good game, tough game. We'll see what happens there. And that'll be on ESPN noon Eastern on Sunday. And then the fourth game, you have Michigan is 2-2. They go on the road against fellow USFL conference opponent Memphis. Michigan needs a win to stay in that number two spot in the USFL playoff race. Memphis just needs a win. They're tied last in the USFL at 1-3. A loss hurts their chances, of course. That will put them two games back out of the number two spot. And they really haven't played very well since opening week. They've lost three straight. They should have won that game against San Antonio week two, but collapsed at the end. And the past 2 weeks have given up a total of, I believe, 65 points. Gave up 33 to Birmingham on the road, and then 32 on the road against St. Louis. So their defense needs to play much better. And, of course, the offense needs to play better. They have Case Cookus, who was an outstanding quarterback for the Stars the past 2 years. So a win from Memphis, I think, was I don't want to say essential, but it's important they get the win. So that's the Week 5 matchups. If you'd like to call in, we have a few minutes. Our guest call-in number is 563-999-3409. We're talking a wrap-up of Week 4 of the UFL and previewing Week 5. I am actually enjoying this season so far. I think the quality of play is better. The teams seem like they're scoring a little bit more and more consistently. You're not getting so many scoreless games or scoreless first halves and all field goal games. I mean, you still get that, but I'm getting a little bit more scoring. And I think you're seeing the separation of the some of the better teams right now, but, you know, you never know. We have six more. Six more games to go. So if you'd like to call in, that's the number, 563-999-3409. We're talking UFL. Hopefully attendance and ratings will continue to improve. And the powers that be, people that run the league, will look at having another season next year. I know it's kind of on a season-by-season basis, but I'm enjoying it as a fan. I want to see what happens. I want to see if Birmingham can go for the three-peat and continue to be a spring football dynasty. I want to see if Arlington can get off the mat and get a win this weekend to try to put together a streak to get into the playoffs. I want to see if anybody can knock off Birmingham. Who's the challenger? Is anybody coming out of the USFL that will challenge them? Will it be XFL? And also, I want to see who comes out on top head-to-head. Going into the season, and after week one, a lot of the fans thought, well, the USFL looks so dominant. But right now, they're tied at four. Head-to-head is 4-4. XFL versus USFL teams. So, parity. And then after Birmingham struggled against D.C. this weekend, I think you have to assume, hey, these teams are just about on par with each other, or at least the two leagues are, or now the two conferences. So, might not be a fluke, and hopefully we'll have all four teams going into the playoffs will have winning records. Now, so far you can say that about XFL. USFL looks a little bit more top-heavy, though. And remember, the second best team in the USFL the past 2 years, obviously behind the Stallions, was the New Orleans Breakers. They were 13-7, made the playoffs both seasons, so finished second in the what was the USFL South. Lost to Birmingham both times in the South Division Championship round in the playoffs. But they were the second winningest club in the USFL the last 2 years. So is anybody going to come out of the USFL right now, whether it's Houston, Memphis, or Michigan, to challenge Birmingham's dominance? Because the Stallions, it doesn't matter who they put in at quarterback, they just keep rolling along. But I think after this week, they look a little bit more mortal, or a little bit more beatable in terms of going forward. I was one that thought, well, they would probably defeat DC convincingly after, of course, their overall record and the way they defeated Memphis. But DC gave them a pretty good game. It was much closer than I thought it would be. So the league is starting to look a little bit more like, I think, what we anticipated. Better quality of play and some better matchups, maybe some rivalries. Of course, you have the Texas teams with the Arlington versus Houston last week, although they're in different conferences. But you have Arlington and San Antonio, and then you'll have Houston and San Antonio. You have the St. Louis-Memphis rivalry, which isn't really one yet, but it's a regional rivalry. Then you have St. Louis-DC, which has become a competitive rivalry because both teams have been fairly competitive. I believe, see, St. Louis is 13-6 all-time regular season, and DC is 14-5. So those are the obviously the best records in the XFL. Arlington, meanwhile, disappointing. Only 6-13 all-time, but they do have the one championship. So it goes to show you, if you don't play well in the regular season, if you just get into the playoffs, you never know what can happen. And that's why each of these teams right now, any one of these teams can make the playoffs if they get on a streak. And any one of them, I think, can win the championship once they get in. Just get into the tournament and you'll see what happens. All right, well, that's all the time we have for today. We'll be back next week with a wrap-up of this week's games. And if you're in one of these cities, St. Louis, Memphis, San Antonio, Detroit, Birmingham, D.C., Houston, or Arlington, go to a game. Go to the game. And obviously watch the weather. If the weather is bad, I don't encourage you to go. But if the weather is not bad, go to a game. Let's support this attendance. If you're not in one of those cities, you can't make a game, watch it on TV. Watch it with your friends. Watch it with your family. Watch it at a sports bar. Just watch the games and see what's going on. Check it out. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Like I said, talk to you next time. Bye-bye.